This is a replay of our Sunday, November 27th church service. We hope you enjoy the music by Ellen and the worship team and the sermon by Pastor Raph Gaudio. God bless you.
If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures and open up in prayer this morning. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, we read what happened in the response of the church when they were persecuted. The Bible says that they gathered together and they prayed. You know, whenever bad things happen, that's the best response, is to gather together and to pray.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of other things we can do, but that's probably the best thing to do, is to gather together and to pray. And when they had prayed, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. You know, if there's ever been a time where we need a shaking, it's today. But a spiritual shaking, where the Holy Spirit comes and ministers to us in a very powerful way. And I believe that's the prayer of so many Christians today, is that the Lord would come in His power and minister to us as believers and strengthen us. How many need the strength of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
We all do. The Bible says the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that filling, they spoke the word of God with boldness. We need that boldness that comes from the Spirit of God to speak forth His word in this hour. People need to hear the word of God, and this is the hour in which we need to preach it. How many know that we're all called to be preachers to some regard? How many know that's true? And we need with boldness to preach His word today. Let's stand this morning, and we're going to pray. Father, we just thank You this morning that You have gathered us together one more time. Lord, You have blessed us one more time with this privilege of coming together in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray if anyone has brought a burden into this house, that it would be lifted and laid at the foot of the cross this morning. Lord, Your word says to cast all our burdens upon You. So, Father, I just pray that those heavy burdens would be lifted and laid at the foot of the cross. I pray this morning as we begin to praise You, and that as we begin to worship You, there would come a mighty release in this house. Lord, we would sense the presence of God among us. Lord, that's what we want more than anything, is to sense the presence of God. And so, Father, we just thank You today for all that You're going to do in this house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's nice to see you all. Let's praise the Lord together.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Amen. We shout out your praise. Sing to the God who heals. And we sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. And there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Thank you, Jesus. We were the beggars, but now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. Are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Thank you, Jesus. We shout out your praise. Thank you, Lord. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Amen. Let's praise him this morning and give him praise because we worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
our hearts towards you, that every eye would see you lifted high. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven,
freedom. Oh, hallelujah.
Freedom, don't we?
Amen.
And remind ourselves of that every day.
shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and
Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. We praise the Lord for you. All those that are serving the Lord in their giftings, whether it's cooking, whether it's working the radio station, whatever it may be, we just are thankful for you. And we appreciate all that you do. I just want to give a couple of shout-outs. One shout-out is for Anne. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm not going to sing. You might be throwing stuff at me. I mean, my voice isn't that bad, but we'll just skip it. But happy birthday. Shout-out to Trevor and John and Yak. They couldn't make it today. Trevor was just recently in a car accident, and thankfully the Lord protected him. He was on his way back. I know you're listening, Trevor. We just thank God for protecting him, and the roads are treacherous this time of year. We have to be careful, and things can happen, but God is a shield for us, and he does protect us. And Trevor showed up at the men's prayer meeting an hour late, and we got to have fellowship with him. And then after that, his car broke down. So he drove it here, and then he couldn't drive it back. So he is at home. How's everybody doing today? Amen? Well, I'm a little bit apprehensive because I so desperately want to encourage you and exhort you today, the power of God, and that's my desire. I really hope that you will be encouraged. we're talking about something that we don't like to talk about. I don't like talking about. I don't like thinking about. Suffering. You know, it's easy to just look through the Bible, read the Bible, and think about that and think, well, that happened to them. That's happening to others. It will not happen to me. But the reality is it did, and it does, and it is. In the New Testament, Jesus talked about suffering many times. He warned his disciples, didn't he? Paul talked about it. He lived through it. The writer of the Hebrews did. Peter did. John did. In all the books of the New Testament, you find it. But we don't want to think about it. I can feel just sort of an uncomfortableness, even if we're talking about it now. But it's a reality for the church. And again, as uncomfortable it is for me even to think about it, just know we're all on the same page with this. The Lord who we love so much, that we worship, set the example for us to follow. But the thing is when the heat gets turned on, we don't really know what's there until it comes up to the surface. Right. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. So the backdrop to this is, you remember the Passover, right? Jesus is with his disciples. They're having this wonderful meal. They're enjoying fellowship together. It was amazing. I just think of that time. That was such a precious time. Just think about it. They're all together. But then all of a sudden, the tone gets quite serious. And Jesus is talking about what's going to happen. And he said, this very night, you all will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Kind of a downer in the midst of this wonderful celebration of fellowship, of eating together with the Lord. But Peter, you gotta love Peter, bold, courageous, speaks before thinking. And I think he probably really meant what he said. No. Peter said, even if I fall away on account of you, even if they all fall away on account of you, I never will. Not me. But then in Luke, next slide. Luke 22:31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. So in the ancient practices of sifting wheat, it was shaking. Just like that. So if you imagine yourself getting shaken up, Pastor David prayed that, getting shaken up spiritually. But this was going to happen physically. And then Peter replied in verse 33, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and even to death. Again, these are huge statements he makes. And again, I think he meant it. But then we know that the Lord actually spoke that he was going to deny him three times. And then they end up in the Garden of Gethsemane, just outside there. And the disciples fall asleep. They were so weighed down by the sorrow of the discussion, because Jesus also mentioned betrayal. Someone was going to betray him. So they fell asleep. And at that time, when Jesus was arrested, it was like they just before that, they woke up, and all of a sudden, the heat was on. And they reacted just as Jesus said, right? And it was later on that Peter denied the Lord. Judas betrayed him. So what was really there when the heat came appeared. It's sobering that the disciples reacted this way. Now, praise God, they were restored. Praise God, Peter actually is an authority on speaking about suffering, because he lived through it. He lived through what it means to fail. And by God's grace and mercy, he continued as a mighty apostle of God with that authority. He witnessed the resurrection. He went through all of that, and he learned so much. He learned how weak he could really be. So his words for us today are so important. Are you listening? Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 to 19. Now the backdrop of what's going on here is that shortly after Peter writes this letter, Herod was going to be launching persecution against the Christians. He actually was going to set fire to Rome himself and blame Christians. So there was going to be a fiery trial, as Peter said. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. How ironic that he said fiery ordeal. Because that's indeed what the Christians went through. They were burned. They were used as candles outside Herod's gates of his palace. So the Christians went through a terrible time of persecution. So Peter's intention was to write this to encourage, to strengthen. His message was to exhort believers to expect suffering. To expect it, not to be surprised. The disciples were surprised when it happened. You know, when something happens, like if you imagine they were sleeping, and all of a sudden they get up and then soldiers are coming to arrest Jesus. It's all happening right before you. You know, in communist countries, people that were worshipers of Jesus, the police would come at night when they were sleeping, knock on the door, and enter their homes in front of their children. Recently in the United States, a pastor was arrested by the FBI for being part of of abortion, anti-abortion work. The FBI came at held him at gunpoint in front of his family. These are all things that would surprise you, wouldn't it? It doesn't happen here, it doesn't happen in the United States. But it is happening. It has happened. So we shouldn't be surprised. You know why? Because we're not ready. Then we're not ready. We're not prepared in our hearts. We hear about it, but we don't think about it. We don't want to think about it. We need to think about it. More importantly, we need to know what God says about it. You're awfully quiet this morning.
We can make some noise.
Is this ringing true a little bit?
Amen.
Don't shoot the messenger. He allows us to suffer. When you encounter, you will encounter deeper fellowship. This is what Peter is going to talk about here with Jesus. The glory of God will come upon you at that hour. His Spirit will be with you like never before and will strengthen you and refresh you. You know, it's interesting because we, as the church, we say, more Spirit, Lord, more of you, more of you. But we don't want to look at the pain, the road of pain. And I don't blame you. I don't either. I don't. I really don't. So again, as hard as maybe this is for you to hear, it's hard for me too. Because it's something that I don't like thinking about. But he allows this in order to purify his church, to purify us. And we are to look at his example and continue to do good. Hold in your minds that the disciples were completely caught off guard, even though they heard Jesus speak about it. Right? We know about persecution going on throughout the world, but then when it starts to happen around us, we're shocked. I remember when I did some training in Amman, Jordan, to how to reach unreached people groups. Okay? The exercise they gave us to do was to set up, plan, and organize a Bible study secretly that no one was to find out. So the other students that weren't part of that weren't to know about it. And we were to organize it, and we set up a meeting place in downtown Amman in a cafe. So, and we all arrived separately, and I was the last one to get there, and I noticed that there was police outside, and I didn't think anything of it. But what happened while we were meeting is more and more police, uniformed police officers, showed up outside. Like there was about 60 of them. And all of a sudden, this became very, very real. We'd heard stories about what happened to people that were serving God in Jordan, in Muslim countries. We didn't know what might happen. It became very, very real. It was supposed to be an exercise. Then all of a sudden, this exercise was, for us, again, a real thing. We all left separately. The police, as we left, I can remember when I was leaving, they were looking at me. And they were muttering to themselves. I thought, okay, any minute now, I'm going to get arrested. But I wasn't really ready. This was kind of like a mock-up. But all of a sudden, just like that, it became real. Now, nothing happened. They didn't arrest us. But it was very sobering. Ben was in another situation. It was another training time with our team. And this was called team building, and they took us out into the desert in Jordan. And as we were arriving, we were in different cars. We were arriving to our location. All of a sudden, we saw there was all these different vehicles around with men inside. And one of the guys, one of the passengers with us, was a trainer, a missionary trainer from Egypt. And when he saw these men, he got out of the car and hid. And we just saw, we didn't really know what was going on. We weren't sure what was happening. But what we realized after we had left the training and come back and picked him up again, is that these were members of the secret police that actually were looking. I don't know if they were looking for him, but they were looking for someone. Now, this particular guy later on in Egypt was arrested. And the police there beat him severely. And they asked him questions about what kind of activities were going on in Egypt, and if he knew names. But he didn't say anything. But he was ready. These were mock-up things that happened. These weren't real, except for that situation was real. And he was ready. He thought about it, and he was ready for it. We need to start thinking about it. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to not be caught by surprise. Suffering is a crucible that God uses for his church to refine his church. Just like those impurities in metal, when metal is heated up, rise to the top. Those things in us rise to the top. Doubt, fear, lack of trust in God, impure motives, even betrayal. All that sin rises to the top and comes out under the heat of suffering for Christ. Verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory, the glory of God rests on you. Some encouragement. Jesus suffered, and we as his followers identify with his suffering, and sooner or later, we will suffer. The apostle Paul, who was no stranger to suffering, wrote in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Fellowship. Jesus fellowships with those who suffer for him. You will know him in a greater way. Like perhaps you've never known before, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the flames, we have fellowship with him.
That's right.
These who experience that are changed. Just as metal gets purified and hardened, so do we. Have you ever suffered personally in your life? And I'm sure that all of you have in some way. And all of you can attest to God being there for you in a way that you never experienced. I remember one brother saying, I would never wish this experience that I went through on my worst enemy. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. But it's hard. It's hard to go through these things. But you will know Jesus more. We will know Jesus more than we ever did before. C.E.B. Cranfield wrote, to share Christ's shame is a glorious privilege. It's a privilege. So opposite of what we would think ordinarily. Counterintuitive. But this is an upside down kingdom that we're a part of. This is not the kingdom of this world. This is the kingdom of God. Verse 14, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Do you remember Stephen? His face was shining when they were stoning him. The Spirit of God was with him. I take comfort in this, brothers and sisters, that in the midst of whatever happens, the Spirit of God will be upon me and others will see his glory. I've heard stories of others that were tortured. And those that were torturing these individuals, they were impacted by the glory of God that was on them. Instead of retaliating in the midst of whatever those individuals were going through, they were blessing Jesus. How does that happen? The Spirit of God. Because we can't do it because we're weak. But the Bible says in our weakness, God is strong. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was in Buchenwald prison during the Second World War in the concentration camp, this was written about him. His soul really shone in the dark desperation of a prison. This was a fellow inmate that knew him. He said Bonhoeffer was afraid that he would not be strong enough to stand such a test, but now he knew there was nothing in his life of which to be afraid. Because God strengthened him in the midst of the fire. He knew he could stand anything. He died. But you know, he died for Christ, and he died well. Like, this is what we have to remember and think about. We're dying well.
Amen.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's true. Bonhoeffer was a hero for the faith. Amazing man. But Jesus said this about being insulted. Have you ever been insulted for being a Christian? I can't imagine sometimes some high school students, you know, they really have to be brave to speak about their faith today. You know, even young adults, like you young adults, like at work and so on, like, it's not easy. I know. I understand. It's fire, you know, like you feel that fire. I remember when I worked in a secular job and I'd speak about Jesus, I could feel the tension. And you know, that's just being insulted. Big deal. It's nothing. It's not really suffering. But at the time, it hurts. You feel shame. You know? Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you falsely, saying all kinds of evil. It's not just that they insult you. They start lying about you. Because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. So we are in good company. The prophets suffered before. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered immensely. More than we can ever imagine. He went through such an excruciating death for you and I. To give us hope. To give us freedom. To give us a future. That we would understand what He did for us. And then He calls us to join with Him and be willing. That's the least we can do. But see, the thing is that He gives us the grace. He gives us His Spirit. He's with us. He knows what we're going through. It's like He's right there with us. And we will feel that if you submit to Him. And if you follow Him. And if you surrender. Because to be a Christian, you're going to be rejected by society. Perhaps by humanity. Hey, that's a great. I'm looking forward to that. Or you think, I didn't sign up for that. If you didn't, I'm sorry. I can't candy coat it. That doesn't mean it will happen exactly the way that we're talking about, but God knows what He has in store. Think of this. The Lord of life, when He came and did what He did, brought salvation, brought freedom, brought deliverance, brought healing. And what did they call Him? They called Him Beelzebub. They called Him the devil. They called Him a blasphemer. That's the very worst thing they could have said. God, they called God Himself the devil. The early Christians They were called atheists. They were called insurrectionists. They were called troublemakers. They were called cannibals because they ate the flesh and blood of Jesus. Today, Christians are called misogynist, homophobic, Islamophobic, intolerant racists, backwards, anti-science, clinging to archaic beliefs, myths, and superstitions. Stupid. Foolish. It doesn't feel good. But when you start to feel that fire, when you feel that burning in you of shame, rejoice. Because they called our Lord Jesus Christ worse than that. Now there are some today that call themselves Christians that are not. And that they are actually racists and they are misogynists and they are those things. Similar to the zealots in Jesus' time. We're not called to get into a standoff with the authorities. We're not. I know that the flesh sometimes, when these things happen, we think, oh, I just like to... Right? Sure, we've all felt that and we all would like to do that. But that's not what the scripture teaches. It's a hard word. You guys restless? Has anyone got any rocks back there? Rubber ones. No standoffs. They always fail because they're not the way. Verse 15 says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, thief, or any other kind of criminal, or even a meddler. That brings shame and reproach to our Lord. It destroys a witness for Christ. It just does. He just can't get around it. It then validates the things they say. You know, as Christians, we're lumped together with all kinds of other political views. In fact, that's the way that persecution can happen is, it's not that they're persecuting Christians, they're persecuting a political view. It's not accurate. That's what they did before as well in the early church. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. It is a privilege to bear the name of Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is our privilege. But that shame brings ramifications. And it did in ancient times. It brought loss of status, reputation, friends, associations, employment, loss of property, jail, oppression of various kinds. Those things happened then, and they're exactly the types of things that happen now. It hasn't changed. It has carried on, been carried on in the Middle East, in China, and throughout the world. It is not a new thing. Verse 17 says, but it is time for the judgment to begin with God's household. And it begins with us. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? He wants a pure and spotless bride. But if this is what we go through, what about those who don't know Jesus, who disobey His gospel? Judgment. So it's not judgment for us in the sense of condemnation. It's a purification.
That's right.
But those that don't know Him and disobey His gospel, it is judgment. Amen. So for us, at those words, we'd say, we need to share Jesus. However we can. Whatever circumstances. Even in the midst of the fiery flames.
That's right.
Even in the midst of somebody calls you whatever they call you. You share Jesus. You show Jesus. And He will help you do that. We don't need to fear this, brothers and sisters. And I know, it's words are easy to say sometimes. It's different when you're going through it. But I believe the Word of God, and I believe that His words are true, and I believe that He will help us through. Amen. I believe He is faithful. I remember a situation in Jerusalem where there was David Damian. You heard of him? He told a story about visiting China. You know about China, right? Tough place to be a Christian. It is. So he was there to encourage the Chinese church, the underground church. And they decided to have a meeting in a restaurant, big restaurant, and there was about 100 pastors that came. And 100 pastors or 100, people in China is a small group, not a very small group, as you can imagine. Well, somehow Chinese security got wind of this meeting, and they showed up. But there weren't very many of them. There's maybe about 5 or 6 or so. And now these pastors, who had suffered persecution, who'd been to jail, were fearless. And you know what they did? When that security went after David Damian, they formed a human wall around him. And as soon as they tried to get in, they moved. They moved around, and they protected him. And they overwhelmed that security. And they moved so quickly, and they got him out of that restaurant before that security could do anything and get reinforcements. And they put themselves between the security because they were fearless, because they'd been through the fire, and they knew what it was like to suffer. And they knew that Jesus was with them, and they partook in His sufferings. And they were willing. And they were changed men. I'll never forget that story. I have another story I want to tell you. In Jerusalem as well, there was a man that was speaking. He was a very thin Sudanese guy. And he couldn't walk very well. And it was humbling to listen to him, because he was so courageous. And what he said was, he had grown up Muslim. He was from North Sudan. And somehow he came to Christ. I forget the details. But the fact was, he did. And immediately after he came to Christ, he was thrown in jail, thrown in prison. And so was a friend of his. And they were in prison. And it wasn't only that they were in prison. He was sentenced to die by hanging. And his only way out was he was to renounce his faith. Well, he's a brand new Christian. Barely started to walk with Jesus. But he had enough of a relationship to know that Jesus was the way. That he had freedom from Islam. Amen. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And he would not renounce his faith. But his friend did. And the very next day, the day that he was supposed to be hanged, the Libyan army came to the prison and basically drove a tank through the wall. The wall broke down. The Libyan soldiers were fighting the guards. And all the prisoners basically just walked out, including this man. Praise the Lord. You never know what God is going to do. You never know. But what struck me about that man is he was a brand new believer and he was willing to die for his faith. Amen. In the midst of suffering, it may feel like God has abandoned you. But Peter reveals to the church that God has allowed it. He didn't orchestrate it to punish us. It's easy to go that way, isn't it? Think of Job. You know, Job was so discouraged. But when God actually started to talk to him, he realized God is God and he is not. So then this is verse 19. So those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. To commit yourself is to trust God and follow Jesus' example of trust in the midst of suffering. He is good. Whatever suffering he allows is for our good. Amen. And that's a tough thing to grab a hold of, isn't it? I hear you. But it's true. It's the truth. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus was our example. He didn't retaliate. He could have, and he didn't. So what do we do with all this? If we try to ignore this issue of suffering for Christ's sake, we may be caught by surprise. But if we face the reality that it's coming at some point, we can be encouraged to know that we will have fellowship with Christ that we've never experienced before. We will have His power. The glory of God will be upon us and carry us through. The Spirit of God will rest upon us and refresh us when we need it, when we need that refreshing. We cannot take things into our own hands, but fully commit ourselves to Him and to do good. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:1, therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with this same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So this is what we're to do. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to think about. But we need to in this time more than ever. So I encourage you today, when you think about what's ahead, don't be fearful. But know that whatever we may have to go through, God's word is true, and He will take us through. He will protect us. He will be there with us in the midst of whatever happens, in the midst of the flames. It's a sobering message this morning. I hope in the midst of it that God has spoken to your heart. I hope that when you leave here today, that somehow you'll be changed, prepared, full of courage, full of His grace. I wonder if I can have the worship team come up. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before You and we just thank You that You are the one that was the example set before us of what suffering looks like and what it means. And You call us to look to You as our example. And You have been faithful to Your church, whatever they've gone through, the fire, the rain, and all that is experienced. The fury of Satan. And You've allowed it to be dealt with in this manner. But You provided grace, You provided strength, You provided Your Holy Spirit, You provided Your presence, You gave fellowship to each one. We thank You, Lord. We thank you that you give these promises. We look to you, Lord, and we say, speak to our hearts, draw us near to you. We need you more than ever. We want to embrace everything that you have for us as a church. So we just bless you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise, all thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. Have a wonderful day, and God bless.